Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. CME Group has released details of a plan to change contract specifications for its $10.2 billion lean hog futures market in a request for feedback circulated to customers late last week. The exchange confirmed plans were underway to review existing livestock product specifications, including trading hours. The proposed changes include lengthening the period of time the exchange considers when calculating the average prices paid in the cash hog markets into an index, which is then used as a benchmark to settle expiring hog futures contracts. Other proposed changes include moving the expiration of the hog futures contract to the end of the month to align the contract settlement for live cattle futures, and increasing the number of contract months to 12 from 8. McDonald's in Japan is increasing its checks on chicken from vendors in China and Thailand after allegations a Chinese supplier sold expired chicken. McDonald's said it will strengthen security checks on suppliers it's still using in China for apple pie, muffins, and cookies, as well as its Thai chicken supplier. McDonald's Japan unit yesterday withdrew this year's earnings and sales forecasts, citing uncertainties from the food scandal. The Chinese Food Safety Agency is investigating allegations that Shanghai Husai Food Company, a McDonald's supplier, sold expired meat. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that consumer prices rose at a slightly slower pace across most of the world's largest economies in June. The annual rate of inflation in its 34 members was unchanged at 2.1% in June, while in the group of 20 leading developed and developing economies, it fell 2.9% from 3%. The G20 accounts for 90% of global economic activity. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 17,013. It's up 31. The NASDAQ is 4463, up 18. And the S&P 500 is 1981, and it is up almost 3 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Cool weather across the Midwest continues to induce a little bit of fear about early frost and freeze potentials, but it doesn't look like we're going to have to worry about that for a while. The majority of our temperatures across the region will stay cooler biased as we move through the middle of this month, and there will be additional concern about that subject matter. Temperatures this morning were as cold as 42 degrees at Aberdeen, South Dakota, and there were a number of other locations across parts of the eastern Midwest that got into the upper 40s, and some lower 50s, of course. 50s were common across the region in general. We are going to be seeing a continuation of this pattern for another few days, and then we'll start seeing some warm-up take place, but a reinforcing shot of cooler air will also come along to prevent us from getting dramatically warm anytime real soon. But we will see temperatures that are a lot closer to normal as we move forward through the weekend and into the early part of next week for a large part of the region. And by that, I'm basically saying the temperatures will become more in the 80s across the region, some upper 70s still occurring in the north, and we may see a couple of lower 90s in the far southernmost parts of the Midwest. This will be during the warmer days. Certainly today will not be one of those days. We'll be looking at highs in the 70s with even a few upper 60 degree readings possible in northeastern Ohio or parts of Michigan, and we'll expect the 80s to be almost non-existent in the heart of the Midwest. As we go through the day tomorrow, we'll see a few more lower 80s occurring in the western and southern parts of the region, but we We're not expecting them to be widespread until we get into the heart of the weekend. At that time, we will see upper 70s near the Great Lakes region. Otherwise, 80s will be common across the region, and we will see some lower 90s in other locations across the region. And our low temperatures at night are still going to be quite favorable for crop development. We'll see a lot of 50-degree lows and some lower 60s beginning to show up again as we get to the Friday through Sunday period. Nothing much warmer than that for a while. Crops have got a plenty of energy to work with between the moisture in the soil and the temperatures being favorable, so aggressive crop development will take place as we get involved with some more warmer weather. Next opportunity for rainfall across the region is going to evolve as we get into the weekend. In the northwestern Corn Belt in particular, we're expecting to see at least some shower and thunderstorm activity beginning to occur as a frontal system approaches the region. Until we get to that frontal system, there will still be some instability showers occurring underneath this broad region of low pressure that is common across the Midwest. This is a low pressure system aloft, and it will continue to produce some instability showers on a daily basis. But as far as having an organized frontal boundary coming across the region, that will hold off until we get to the end of the weekend and into the early part of next week. And it'll begin in the northwestern areas, the Dakotas, Minnesota, portions northwestern Iowa. These areas will see rain Sunday into Monday, perhaps. The frontal boundary will eventually work its way across the region. There is a more organized low-pressure system going to evolve across parts of the northern plains and the upper Midwest during that period of time. It might help to stimulate some more aggressive shower and thunderstorm activity and some heavier rainfall. And there may actually be a little bit of scattered showers in the lower parts of the western Corn Belt. Now, don't look for that to be a soaking that is so badly needed in that region. It's still pretty darn dry from portions of the northern Delta and southern portions of Illinois back through Missouri and Kansas to portions of Nebraska and South Dakota. Only the northern parts of that region will see any kind of serious relief, and it's still questionable how serious that might be. The lower parts of that region will continue to have a drier bias, even if there are some showers that occur in the early part of next week. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Here's crop progress for the week ending July 27th. 78% of the corn crop is silking versus 56% last week, and the five-year rolling average is 75%. 17% of the crop is in dough stage versus the five-year rolling average of 16%. Corn conditions, good to excellent, 75%. That's down 1 percentage point from last week. Fair, 19%, poor, 5%, very poor, 1%. 76% of the soybean crop is blooming versus 60% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 72%. 38% of soybeans are setting pods versus 19% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 31%. Soybean conditions, good to excellent, 71%, down 2 percentage points from a week ago. Fair, 23%, poor, 5%, very poor, 1%. September corn trading 361.5, down 6.25. December 370.25, down 6.5. August beans 1223.75, down 12.75. November 1095.25, down 12.25. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, we got the break in the crop progress that many were finally expecting, but it hasn't reflected itself on the market today.
Not really. I mean, it was expected. Usually by the, you know, the first week of July, we start seeing them go down. We had been holding our own or maintaining, and they did expect a hair lower, and we got that. I think the big thing in the forecast is yesterday, the forecast was drier. Today it's wetter, and so on a drier forecast, we go up. On a wetter forecast, we go down.
So the question then becomes for people watching these daily future charts, is November building any kind of consolidation or base, in your opinion?
I don't think it is. Actually, we had November's went to, 1055 last week, and after they hit that, within a day and a half, we hit the high, which we exceeded yesterday. And so we've had about a 60-cent range in 4 days. I just think we're in a range back and forth, and the weather forecast, I think, can push it lower or higher.
Does, if the weather cooperates, 11:35 to 45 seem like a logical place for November soybeans?
Yeah, they were talking about getting maybe to 11:50, but on the bottom side, they're talking 10:16, so it's a big range based on what the think the crop is doing based on the weather.
And in the corn, what are your downside targets if the weather cooperates?
308 on the board is one that's all kinds of people are putting out there, but we have to get past the 364 first. After we hit the 64, we went up to, 76 and three quarters. The old high a couple weeks ago was 95 and three quarters, but we went and made the low after that. So I think you're looking at 360 on the bottom side to 390 on the high side.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, hard red winter September wheat, 617 and three quarters, down 7 3/4. December, 633, down 7 1/4. Soft September, 524 and three quarters, down 10. December, 548, down 9 3/4. September corn, 362, down 5 3/4. December, 370 3/4, down 6. August beans, 1224 3/4, down 11 3/4. November, 1096, down 11 3/4. August soybean meal, 398, down 480. August soybean oil, 36.26, down 26. August live cattle, 159.15, up 10. August feeders, 221.12.5, up 95. And August lean hogs, 122.02.5, down 165. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.